Let's pray. Heavenly Father, remind us who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. We were going through boxes after my parents died, and in those boxes, and there were thousands and thousands of pictures and slides, and then there were another thousand and thousands of pictures and slides from when my grandmother died. Few of the pictures brought back wonderful memories. Some tugged at heartstrings, and some drew a giant question mark because we had no idea who they were. After sorting the pictures into piles destined to be given away or scanned into the computer to be kept, one pile sat forlornly off to the side, and in a single motion, they were carried to the garbage and, well, they ceased to exist forever. My parents and grandparents obviously knew who they were, and they had kept those pictures for a reason. But a generation later, those pictures were of nameless and storyless individuals. If I ask for your identity, you're going to pull out your driver's license or your passport or your military ID or your baptism record, birth certificate, high school diploma, your marriage license. You'll give me one of those official things. Pieces of paper. If it's important enough, you laminate it. They tell me your age, name, where you were born, who your parents were, if you graduated, if you're married. 99% of the time, I will doubt their authenticity because I'll usually get that little gold star now that makes it a real ID. Until we started leaving digital footprints, everything was on paper. Huge warehouses were filled with filing cabinets or microfiche. Yeah. If your hospital burned down, well, there was simply no record of you ever being born. If a clerk mistyped or misfiled you, you ceased to exist, at least on paper. Yeah. A letter from a trusted source might vouch for you. And, by the way, back in the old days, if you had a baptism certificate, that was almost as good as a birth certificate. You knew the people you lived near, work with, and did business with, and chances are your parents knew their parents and their parents and their parents. You weren't a binary code on a magnetic strip. You were a real person with a name and a life and a story. But unless you were a Hollywood or sports star, no one outside your community knew who you were. True story, when Roy Romer was the governor of Colorado, he flew to the West Coast for a meeting. The problem was, he forgot his ID, and he managed to get through the Colorado airport with no problem, but they were having a problem letting him back on the plane. Well, he'd made a big speech because he had been nominated by President Obama to head up some agency, and he was on the front page of the paper. And so he just walked over, grabbed the paper, showed it to the TSA agent, and said, "That's me," and they let him on the plane. Yeah, most of us can't do that. Your footprint was your children, your job, your family name. Your name lived on so long as you lived on, or your children did. By the way, if you ever get to southeast Denver, Colorado, around Holly and Florida Street, you might find a subdivision that's called Chris Anna Park. The real estate agents are now using that old name to help sell something called 60s Homes with a California twist. Chris Anna is named after my great-grandparents, Christian and Anna Noe. Yeah. They used to own a lot of that area. It was a dairy farm until they sold it in the late 50s. And even though their names live on in a sign in real estate magazines, nobody but my family even knows who they are anymore. Things have certainly changed. People all over the world can know who you are. You can be walking through somewhere and somebody says, "I know you, I saw." Email, blogs, and social media sites tell the world all about you, whether you wrote the articles or someone else just mentioned you in their article. And these virtual pages rarely die. They just float around in cyberspace waiting to be summoned so someone can view them. Have you ever Googled yourself? Yeah, if you haven't, do it sometime. You'll be amazed at what you find. First, you'll be surprised how many people have the same name or a similar name as you. Just so you know, I'm a guy in my 20s. I live in the South and I love to fish and hunt. Yeah, my daughter Molly is, and I quote, "a poet, folklorist, and philosopher working with the sacred tradition of the Irish Christian Druids." Oh, my daughter Katie, she's the primary contact for a pilot study of cytocholine add-on therapy in patients with bipolar disorder or major depressive disorder and amphetamine abuse or dependence. My wife Nancy is a cherished and recognized leader in the South Dakota education and arts community. And there you have it. Except none of those things are true, at least when it comes to my family. One of our members chose a famous singer's name for their email address. Yeah, kleereichel@yahoo.com. he fortunately thought it was okay, and she did too. If you visit the president's homepage and type .com instead of .gov, you get a rude surprise. And then there's Wikipedia, an encyclopedia where you get to be the editor. And if someone doesn't like what you wrote, well, then they can rewrite what you wrote, and then you can go back and rewrite what they wrote, and then somebody else can rewrite what both of you wrote. Yeah, everybody gets to put in their 2 cents. And, you know, they'll put down that it was verified, but let's face it, as long as everybody gets to put in their 2 cents, yeah. So who are we? Is there a truth to who we really are? Or have those pages not been written yet? You know that I'm a big fan of Psalm 139. Is it up to us to decide what and who we want to be? Or is our life already written in indelible, invisible ink, just waiting for the magic solution to unveil it? The color of your eyes and hair, how tall you are, your skin complexion, those are all gifts from your parents. But what about the rest of you? Some things don't change. When I was in the 5th grade, Mrs. Pryor encouraged us to dream and imagine and push the boundaries of our future. We could be anything, do anything, go anywhere. After all, men had just walked on the moon. Anything was possible. And so when I wrote to Ulf, who was my pen pal, and by that I mean a pen pal that you actually had to write to and mail off, and then you had to wait because he lived in Sweden, and it took forever for him to get a letter back to me. Well, I could be anybody I wanted to, kind of like on Facebook today. Yeah, I never worried about Ulf finding anything different because it was highly unlikely I was going to visit his tiny Swedish village, and it was highly unlikely that anybody from his tiny Swedish village was going to visit me in Colorado. Today, the things you read on people's social media sites are amazing. If we were to take a sampling from these things, it would just seem, well, that pretty much everybody in America is an Olympic athlete, a Rhodes Scholar, or as rich as Bill Gates. Yeah, they all know more than the president of the U.S. and are able to talk expertly on just about every single subject from economics to fashion to art. The church gets an average of 100 emails a week trying to give us millions of dollars or wanting me to speak at an international conference because they heard I was so good. Yeah, all we got to do is give them access to our bank account or write them a large check, which they will immediately reimburse once everything gets rolling. Yeah. It seems not everything on the web is real, but I'm not sure that everybody knows that. Your online ID, is it who you are, or is it just make-believe? If it is just make-believe, is there anything wrong with that? Is cyber fame so bad? Proverbs 12:9 says, better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. If we run the politically correct filter on this verse, because it's not so good to have servants today, it says that we should desire to be nobody if it means that we have everything we need instead of pretending to be somebody and actually having nothing. Isaiah 32:7 and 8 says, you know, the noble man makes noble plans and by noble deeds he stands. God says we are someone by design. Your parents getting together, the genes they passed on to you, your talents, abilities, they're not by accident. God knew you before you were born. He wrote down every moment of your life, put it in a special book that he keeps really close to his heart. There is a purpose to who you are. Just like the keys in your pocket, there is only one lock that they will work in and one door that they will open. And you are just like that. Your key opens up, well, things in this world that nobody else can open up. So why would we want to be someone else? Power, greed, fame, ego, desire, revenge, pick one, pick all of them. Could be innocent, just an April Fool's joke, or could be a virtual lifestyle change. Once upon a time, such an identity mirage would have been almost impossible. Today, it's as simple as turning on your computer. Did you know that Facebook has over 3 billion users? YouTube only has 2.7 billion. Yeah, they're trying to catch up. 80% of the users, by the way, return to these sites every day and spend an average of 15 minutes, except on YouTube, they actually spend a little more. Some use it as a diary to tell the world everything that they're thinking, everything they're doing. Some write their dreams. Some connect to friends that they haven't spoken to or seen in years. Some rant and rave against the establishment. Some post their art and their music because they have no other venue. And the reason many people do it is the chance to be remembered. And in some of their minds, it makes them immortal. Psalm 53, verse 2. God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek him. So who are you? Why are you? Why do you do the things you do? What do you plan on leaving behind as your legacy? See, there was a time when the footprints you left behind were found in your children, your life's work, your family, the thoughts, words, and deeds that you lived out in the community. You made your impact on the world one person at a time, and your greatest work, your most indelible legacy, was what you did for the next generation. Your personal focus was not on what you were leaving behind, but where you were going when you died, and who you might be taking with you. Life was simpler because most people knew there were only two choices, and maybe they weren't 100% sure on how to get to heaven, but they knew that that's where they wanted to go. And so they spent their life saying, all right, how does this work? In Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, Sidney Carton sacrifices his life for another, and he utters those famous words that a lot of people used to say. I haven't heard them for a while. It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known. Heaven was as real to most people as the earth they stood on. Their legacy was important, but their eternity more so. Being remembered was not nearly as important as being saved. And if they were remembered, they wanted to be remembered as somebody who was saved. Things have changed. Even in the minds of faithful Christians, there is a doubt about what might come next and whether or not they have what it takes to get there. This is why our lessons today were so important. Thomas and Peter and, the rest of the disciples. People want to be remembered. People want to make an impact. People want to leave something behind, and far too many are willing to sacrifice their eternity. They start to get them confused. They're more interested in this world, in this life, than they are in what this life in this world does for the next life. God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, and any who seek him. All those words you post, all those pictures and bio updates and videos you upload, yeah, God already knew all that. But he didn't see anything he didn't already know about you, because before he looked at the things you were leaving behind for the world to see, he read your heart. He looked deep inside who you really are, who you want to be, who you could be. And he loved you for just being you. Not the you you want to be, not the you that you hope to be, not the you that, He just loves you for being the you that you are. Something you should know about God. He believes you are far too precious, far too important for your life to be nothing more than a few words or pictures or songs left behind. Those things are great. And if you leave them behind for the world to experience, that's fantastic. But more than things, God wants you to live on as his legacy. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, God tells us he implanted the desire in our hearts for us to live forever. Ecclesiastes says that we have eternity set in our hearts. John says, if our name is written on that book, the book of life, we're going to live forever. It's that simple. How do you get your name written in the book? Well, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It really is that simple. I know we often make it a lot harder, but God knows that we're simple people and that we're forgetful people. If you're going to write music and books or take pictures or paint murals, if you're going to blog or make videos, use them to inspire others. Let them see Jesus through you. The legacy is not the song or the blog or the book or the picture. The legacy is that lives are being changed because of you. The legacy is how you inspired other people to know Jesus. The legacy are the faces and lives of those who will never be forgotten, because they will get to live on not just in a blog or a Facebook post or a YouTube channel, but they get to live on forever in heaven. The box of their pictures may be in the dump, but they aren't. They're with Jesus. 2 Peter says someday everything around us, all of it, is simply going to cease to exist. Even cyberspace, yeah, gone in just a moment. But everyone who believes, everyone whose name is written in the book of life, they're going to go on forever and ever. And that's definitely something worth living for. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.